demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, we asked if everything was going to go off without a hitch for the Super Bowl this weekend. 49ers are reportedly already displeased with the Super Bowl practice field, according to sources. Field conditions for the Niners practice facility at UNLV have been met with widespread disapproval from various members of their organization, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. The NFL put in a sod field on top of field turf and started laying it just last week when the NFL ordinarily requires Super Bowl practice fields to meet certain standards in December, sources told Schefter. Well, I guess this speaks more to what you're saying about 2 weeks. Even then's not enough time to get everything ready.
No, and it's, you know, the Chiefs are practicing at the Raiders facility, and the Niners have to practice at a college facility.
That's a little jacked, isn't it?
Yeah, this goes more to my point that the NFL's fields should all be standardized and they should all be the same. So you don't have to worry about stuff like this. Putting sod on top of a turf field that's basically concrete.
That seems like a bad deal, doesn't it? Yeah.
More motivation for the Niners?
Maybe, or the fix is already in, Angel. The script.
Oh, I mean, it's been...
The script!
It's been finalized already. Did you see the Grammys?
I heard about it.
We know what's happening.
She won?
She won like 7 awards. 4th time album of the year.
And Jay-Z's...
She announced the new album.
And Jay-Z's mad again?
Mm-hmm.
Because Beyonce didn't win the Grammys or something?
No, Beyonce put out an album.
Why didn't Jamie Foxx or who got up there and complained about Taylor Swift winning?
Kanye.
Oh, Kanye. Kanye got up there and complained and ruined Taylor Swift's big night because he said Beyonce is the greatest ever. Mm-hmm. Then Jay-Z goes and does, Taylor Swift wins a Grammy again, and then he goes up there and says, hey, man, Beyonce needs to win more. What do we do? What are you guys doing here? Who cares? You guys are millionaires. You're making a lot of money. You're well-known musicians. Who cares if you won the stupid Grammys?
It's, you know, contract negotiations and such. And
just
record deals.
Award shows are awful. And they make them more awful now when you can just get up there and complain. Did he take the mic out of Taylor Swift's hand or something? Was it like the Kanye thing?
I heard about it.
Oh, boy.
I didn't care enough to watch the Grammys.
Who won the best rock band? Yellow Shirt or whatever? I mean, it's not good. Nickelback, probably? Backstreet Boys?
Would that be upsetting?
Yes. But it's not real rock. The Grammys, they don't honor real rock. It's like, you know, the Backstreet Boys or something else. It's just dumb. I don't like it. But maybe the fix is in. Because Kelce couldn't be there, though, right?
I don't think so.
He couldn't be there. I don't think. He needs to be in Super Bowl week. So the fix may be in. The practice field sucks. There
best
you go.
His rock album was This Is Why by Paramore.
Hey, listen, I don't mind Paramore. It's not bad. They're not bad.
They're
but
not bad.
They're not in the same. Do you think of, when you think of rock, I mean, I'm sorry, but I think of Metallica. And I think of Shinedown, and I think of AC/DC, and I know some of those are older bands. I don't think of Paramore. Well, that's like pop rock.
I think we're starting to move past the 80s is the only rock era, and you know, there's 90s rock, there's early 2000s rock, which I really enjoy.
Love the 2000s rock.
You know, we're already 40 years past that.
I know. I need to just get over it. But Paramore was around when I was in college.
Yes.
Like they were a big deal. Again, they're not bad, but that's the best rock, whatever. Le'Veon Bell says he's going to attempt an NFL comeback. He's going to come back to the NFL and he's only interested in playing for one team. He's ready to make amends with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, goodness.
He wants to come back.
No.
He will be 32 this month. He will start training for his comeback in March, and although he didn't mention the only team he would play for, sources believe that it's clear he's referring to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Should they get Antonio Brown back, too? Bring Ben Roethlisberger out of retirement. I saw Antonio Brown shared something on Instagram over the week, and not the weekend, it was like late in the week. It was a picture of him and Big Ben, and he said, I missed this cracker.
Antonio Brown said that? Yeah. Okay, that's not shocking.
But it's like, you ruined it, man. I mean, you're, yeah. Just bring them all back. Kind of,
not Ben, but Ben has
Bell, too.
Issues,
Bell wanted more money, and he got out, and he did the holdout thing, and it never really worked out for him after that.
You know, Le'Veon, there's a pretty exciting spring football league popping up here next month.
He would be the star of that show.
Absolutely.
So maybe just go try that. Maybe that's the team he's talking about. He didn't actually say the Steelers, but sources close to him say that that's what he meant.
I mean, why not? I feel like that'd be a good warm up. Get warmed up just in time for spring practice to come around and sign on a vet minimum.
Yeah.
Get on a team.
Get a chance to show what you're worth. Go do what Colin Kaepernick would not do, and that's go and do the little things to get yourself back into the league.
I mean, would you rather submit, here's 4 weeks of me practicing on an empty field
running,
versus here's 6 weeks of game tape?
Running, jumping, catching.
Does he have pads on?
Nope. No. But I can do all those things.
No.
Dude, like most guys that stay in good shape, professional football players, former guys, when they're like in their 40s, if they stay in decent shape, they can still do all that stuff at a high level. It's just putting the pads on and hitting and getting hit. You can't do that anymore.
For 60 minutes.
Yeah, it's not the same. I mean, you still might be fat. I've seen our boy Kyle Bell, who got a cup of coffee in the NFL. He never actually made it past, I think he got onto like Jacksonville's team for like the training camps and all that stuff. That dude is built better now than he was when he played. But he probably couldn't go out there and get hits.
I mean, look at Tim Tebow. That dude has stayed jacked.
He's bigger than he's bigger than he was. The Rock played for Miami. You know, he played for the University of Miami. He's bigger now than he was then.
Speaking of The Rock, he made some noise over the weekend.
Did he make his comeback?
Kind of. So they're setting up WrestleMania with Roman Reigns and Cody Carnes.
I don't know him anymore, man.
So they're doing this little face-off, and Cody's calling out Roman Reigns, like, I'm going to come for your belt and all of that, because he won the Royal Rumble last week. See, I'm getting into wrestling now.
Look at you go. I'm proud of you.
So they're in the ring talking, and he's like, Roman, I talked to somebody very, very close to you that knows you very well. And then you hear the, can you smell? And the whole arena erupts, and The Rock comes out.
Oh.
And him and Roman Reigns are cousins.
Oh,
so they do a little face-off. So now it's The Rock maybe trying to go for the title, and Cody is kind of just left off to the side.
So is he going to commit to that? Because they have to sign contracts, and they're going to commit to a certain amount of those things, man. Or just WWE, because Vince McMahon's officially done now, right?
He better be.
He was done, then he wasn't done, now he is done.
He needs to be gone.
Boy, I could have seen that coming with the way he was back in the day. That's when I watched.
But now wrestle fans are upset because Cody's story has not been finished because he lost to Roman in the last belt match or whatever. So I'm kind of maybe a little getting into wrestling.
Listen, man, when it was the best, it was the Attitude Era. It was Kane and the Undertaker, the Ministry of Darkness, D-Generation X with Triple H and X-Pac. Oh, it was Road Dogg, Jesse James, badass Billy Gunn. Try to think of all the D-Generation X guys. Man, China was on there for a while. Oh, dude. Yeah, it was like them, the Ministry of Darkness, Stone Cold kind of by himself, and Kane was emerging, and they created this whole crazy storyline for him. It'll blow your mind. I mean, you know, guys in masks all the time. It was a different world. I don't know. Maybe it'll be the same. Maybe you let me know. You keep me updated.
I will try to keep some interest.
Like Sting? Do we have those kind of guys anymore?
I'm not sure. I know there's the Bloodline. They're like the group of Samoan, Hawaiian / brothers.
I want to have
Roman's like the leader of that.
Are we just too, we don't want to get too silly anymore, so we don't want to do the whole, because there was like, remember Edge? They were the Brood. And there was like vampire-y looking dudes, and
I've only watched the last like 2 weeks.
Well, you let me know. They start bringing those masked idiots back. I want to get in on that again, because that was a blast. That was
CM
fun.
CM Punk, he tore his tricep last week, so he's kind of out of it right now.
I was all into the Wolf Pack, the NWO Wolf Pack, Rey Mysterio Jr. They had the LWO, the Latino World Order, Conan and Rey, and Eddie Guerrero, the Four Horsemen. Ah, Those were the
just names.
No, those were the days, man. Those were the days. Ric Flair was obviously not really in his prime. Was he ever in his prime? Not when I watched him. But he did wrestle. He slapped people on the chest all the time. And it's like, just block that slap, man. Just, like, cover your chest. That's all he's got.
It's
got
to hurt, though.
It looked like it hurt. Their chest was always very red.
How do you sell that?
Well, that was the one, like, they didn't fake. The punches they all threw, you know, they get real close to their face and then stomp on the ground and make it look like they were hitting
or
somebody.
They, like, they'll put their hand on them and then they'll hit their elbow with their hand or something. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, those, it was fun. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, so are you getting excited at all for this game coming up Sunday now? Are you plugging back in? Like, it's supposed to be an epic football game, Angel.
It'll be on the TV. I think my roommates, they normally do a Super Bowl party, so I'll probably head downstairs, grab a few snacks, head upstairs. And
what's the go-to snack for you for the Super Bowl?
It's got to be pizza. I haven't had pizza in a while, so.
What?
Kind of looking forward to
it. We have pizza all the time. You know, we
wings
just.
Wings are fine, but you can get wings.
Wings sounds great for me this weekend. I'm going to put that request in.
I don't know why. I think I hear Super Bowl food and I just picture the veggie tray of celery and carrots. I'm going to snack on these.
Well, I just.
A little bag of Triscuits over in the corner, yeah.
Just like a little rabbit. Just a little, like, rabbit food.
I'll eat the entrees, but it's those side dishes that really make it.
Yeah.
You know, you get your Ruffles with your sour cream dip.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that. I want a good, like, cheese dip of some sort. You know?
You're the type of guy that has, like, a big bowl and you just put all your snacks into that bowl and that's just yours.
I don't really even know.
And pick and choose.
I get it played out, and then I kind of just pick and choose what I'm going to do. But any kind of gathering I do is usually a very small group. So, like, it might be my wife and I, obviously, and our child, and then maybe back in the day, her brother and sister-in-law would come over, and then or maybe a buddy of mine and his wife, or like. My folks or her folks, it's usually no more than like five people. So it's not, you know, it's not like you got to fend, you got to fight. There's going to be plenty of food there. There's no fighting for the last piece there. So it's all very calm, at least when it comes to that. But I don't know. Now I'm getting excited. I haven't even really thought about it.
It'll be on
Thanksgiving,
kind of. I'll pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Are you prepared to make?
I more just want a good game.
I have no feel on this yet. I mean, when I look at the Chiefs, obviously they're different than when they won last year. Even they're a different team than they were when they, you know, this is their fourth trip. The other three trips, that was a high powered offense. It's still a high powered offense. I think about the Chiefs offense as they just find a way. It's not sexy all the time. I mean, they beat Baltimore, what, 17-10? You know, this is just. This is an offense that just figures it out, and that's obviously led by Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't need to be lighting it up for 350 yards to have a good game now. He is just, they're just finding different ways to win football games. But then on the defensive side, obviously overall they're pretty good defense, but their cornerbacks are top of the line. I mean, I was reading a story about how they got all these their free agents. And again, Charles Amanu is not going to play. He's a young DN that's going to be a stud, or is a stud. He's not going to play this weekend. But they were talking about going after him in the offseason with Andy Reid, with their GM, and then Spagnuolo, like what they were doing to get these guys. And the text that Andy Reid sent to Drew Tranquil, their 28-year-old linebacker, he basically just, because Drew wrote back and said, hey, thanks, coach. I'll let you know if I have any questions. And Andy wrote back. What did he say? All I'll leave you with is see red, win Super Bowls. And for some reason that like hit Drew and he's like, dude, I want to be on this. And so the three of them worked together to get all these studs. They knew they needed to get better defensively because maybe they saw the writing on the wall. Obviously lost Tyreek 2 years ago, and then this offense, their weapons were starting to go away. Travis Kelce's not getting any younger. Obviously he had a weird regular season. He's turned it up as of late. So this was a team that said, we know Mahomes is still going to be a stud. But we got to be able to stop teams. We got to be able to win 17-10. We're not going to get in the 46-43 shootouts every single weekend.
Is the writing on the wall with Kelce?
That he's done? Mm-hmm. Boy, I mean, and I know, like, our, you know, arch nemesis of the show, Dixon, hates this, but the Taylor Swift thing has to come into play here.
Absolutely.
I mean, has to. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's won two Super Bowls. He's arguably the best tight end to ever do it. He might win three. There's nothing left. And if he wants to keep playing, great. But his brother just retired, and his brother seems like he's having the time of his life. And now he's not getting to go to Grammys. Maybe he wants to experience some of that stuff. Now, don't forget that Travis Kelce was on, like, wasn't he on, like, a dating show or something early in his career? He was doing all that MTV stuff. He liked that stuff.
No, he's got that personality. I think, you know, Jason obviously has his wife and his kids, and maybe Travis wants to...
Maybe he wants to go that
route.
...part
of his life.
Which would be crazy, though.
I don't know how the Swifties would handle Taylor Swift having kids. You know, oh, she can't sing for 9 months. Hey.
And those children are going to be under crazy pressure.
Those poor children.
I mean, if I were them, retire and move, like, out of the country and then have kids. Like, I'm it's not that I hate Taylor Swift's music. We'd still have to hear it if she's in some kind of...
Or she'll write an album about it.
Yeah, she'll be on some island and they start singing island songs or something. We'll still have to hear it. But I'm just saying, like, Taylor Swift is beyond reason as far as her fan base goes. So I would not want to have kids. And I'm not, like, if they want to have kids, great. But those children, please don't give them social media. Please don't give them access to social media.
It's a Hollywood ending where he wins the Super Bowl.
She's going to run up to him and hug him and kiss him. And then,
you know, they're placing bets on whether or not he's going to propose. Like,
on the field?
On the field, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do the Swifties want that?
Yes, they adore Travis.
So they want, like, clear the field.
Yes.
Here comes Taylor. No, please don't.
They're doing it.
Don't do that.
It's happening. As the confetti falls, he's going to get down on the knee, and it's going to be, oh, here we go, folks. Oh, Jimmy's going to pop the question.
I don't know. They've been, now, as public as this has been, it's actually been fairly secretive, really. I mean, yes, it's public because we see Taylor at the games. But we don't really see, now, again, I don't read People magazine or any of that junk, but I feel like they took a long time before they let it be known that they were dating.
It took off, obviously, with her showing up to games, and it was in the middle of her tour, so she was just at an all-time high with popularity. But I think 2 weeks ago when she came onto the field after they won the AFC Championship, and you get the picture of them hugging and talking to Andy Reid and all of that, they're gonna get more of that.
I hope they don't do that. So do you think the Chiefs are going to win because they're going to have all that magic on their side?
Yeah, not magic. It's more like witchcraft.
Do you find yourself rooting harder then for Brock Purdy and company?
Not Brock Purdy specifically, but for the 49ers, yes.
Are you rooting for the Niners or are you rooting for the Chiefs to lose?
I am rooting for both.
Okay, help me out with Brock Purdy. That should
He's
be my guy. That should be my
pick.
Guy. I like a good underdog story, a real underdog story, not Rudy. I like a real, and I know that was based on a reality, real thing, but.
Is Purdy more of an underdog than Tom Brady was in his first couple years?
Well, Mr. Irrelevant should be. I mean, Brady was a sixth rounder.
What if he was one pick before Mr. Irrelevant?
It's the storyline of Mr. Irrelevant. I don't know. And, you know, I did my video. I'm going to do another one, my whole minute thing. I'm working on it, Angel. And, you know, I talked about Lamar Jackson and how we perceive him compared to Brock Purdy. And a bunch of people went on and commented, keep in mind, he's only in his second year. That being said, I actually think Brock Purdy should be given, there should be more pressure on that quarterback. There was pressure on Garoppolo because what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have built in San Francisco, all you got to do is not screw it up, bro. All you got to do is be average. And Brock has been above average. So I do think that there's pressure on him. As far as underrated compared to Tom Brady, I don't think so. I think Brady was, nobody talked about him. Nobody talked about Brock either. And then it was just, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo faded. And then here enter Brock Purdy. He just kept winning. Last year, he kept winning.
The way he came into the starting role is very fortunate for his part, unfortunate for Trey Lance and Jimmy G. Who just, you know, had injuries, and, you know, I never really bought the hype of Trey Lance, but again, it's a system and it's a team that is built on its offensive line, the weapons you have, and the defense.
It's unlike what we see in the NFL today. We don't see it kind of in the reverse, where we build everything around it, then we insert quarterback. It's unique. Okay, so were you asking if Tom Brady was an underdog in his first Super Bowl more so than Brock Purdy, or were you asking the perception of Tom Brady more an underdog?
More of the perception of them in their first 2 to 3 years.
So I think Brock Purdy is, because I think Tom, obviously, once he got the shot, we were already crowning that guy. You know, once he got the shot, it didn't take, three games? I've seen Brock Purdy play a lot of football games, and I've heard a lot of people that are more educated than me on the football side of things that say something similar, where there's still something they're not going all in on about Brock Purdy, and I don't know what that is. It's not what we've seen in the playoffs. He's been the best quarterback in these playoffs.
Who were some of the top quarterbacks when Brady started getting going?
Well, Peyton would have been well underway. Aaron Rodgers? No, it wasn't Rodgers. Let's see, Drew Brees was probably with the Chargers at that point. Oh, boy, right around that time. Who was with the... Now I'm blanking out. Who were some of the top quarterbacks at that stage?
So I'm going to go to
2001. There was Jake Delhomme.
Kurt Warner.
Okay, Kurt.
Peyton Manning, Brett Favre.
Oh, duh.
Aaron Brooks.
Oh, I loved Aaron Brooks.
Rich Gannon.
Yes, Raiders, right?
Yeah. Trent Green.
Chiefs.
Kerry Collins.
Giants.
Jake Plummer.
Broncos.
Jeff Garcia.
Niners.
Doug Flutie.
Bills.
Brad Johnson.
Vikings, Buccaneers.
Steve McNair.
Titans. All right. Was Donovan McNabb on the Eagles at that point, too?
Yes.
Yeah, Donovan McNabb, mm-hmm. Stud.
So I'm just kind of asked, I bring that up because it's, who was Brady being compared to at that time versus who was Purdy being compared to with Mahomes?
That's very true. I think although this year was a weird year, but I do think we're seeing quarterback play over the past 5 years. We're at a very interesting time, maybe a great time for quarterback. Those guys you just mentioned, I mean, a lot of those guys are gone and forgotten. You know, Donovan McNabb, did he get into the Hall of Fame? He should be close. If not, I don't know.
He was on the cover of Madden.
Yeah, he was on the cover of Madden.
That's the first one I played.
I loved playing as the Eagles because Donovan McNabb, big fan of him. I think he's a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
He became eligible in 2017.
Oh.
He's been nominated each year since then. He has not yet made it into the Hall of Fame.
Boy, I don't know if he's going to get there. The fact that I said that out loud means he shouldn't get it in my Hall of Fame. In the Hall of Fame, he's not in, and I love Donovan McNabb. But those guys, like Vic was probably playing around that time, wasn't he? Or was that, did he come a little bit later?
See, that was 2001, so I'd probably say a little later.
But the crop of quarterbacks there that you're talking about, Peyton Manning being the big one, Brett Favre.
Kurt Warner,
those were big. McNair was obviously pretty good. Donovan was pretty good, but we're looking at, and this year was weird, but we're looking at a crop of quarterbacks now where it's Josh Allen stormed onto the scene, Patrick Mahomes, Rodgers is still in this league. You look at Burrow, once he gets healthy, like everybody believes in that guy.
Prescott. Guys.
Yeah, the crop of quarterbacks is pretty good. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment.
But was Kurt Warner the clear-cut number one quarterback in the league at that time?
Manning had to be close. I think it was probably Manning was the best quarterback in the league at that point. Because Manning was drafted in 99 or 98. He had a bad rookie year. But then after that, he was good. Mm-hmm. Like, after that year, he was good. So it was Brett Favre probably still in his prime. Which, again, you're talking about three Hall of Famers right there. Mm-hmm. Kurt Warner. Are there three Hall of Famers that are there with Brock Purdy? Like three Hall of Famers currently playing quarterback in the NFL? Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Who else is Aaron Rodgers? But again,
he's part of the older generation,
right? Who's in right now? Like you can't say Joe Burrow yet.
No,
you can't say Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. We will at some point.
We'll argue it for sure.
We will say it at some point, Angel. But it's not right now. Maybe. We won't say it today.
As a running back.
He can get in. He could probably get in as an agent if he wants to.
No.
Josh Allen's not a Hall of Famer yet.
No.
Russell Wilson's not a Hall of Famer.
He's still kind of part of that older generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Kind of in the between. Because I think his second year they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They beat the Broncos. I don't think there's any. Are there any current Hall of Famers in the, other than Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers at this stage playing in the NFL? At quarterback?
Maybe Prescott? I don't know.
I don't think
him
so.
Him and Lamar are kind of like right there in terms of...
Even by the NFL standards. Not my standards, the NFL standards. I don't think that there's anybody there. Mm-hmm. I think you need to see Josh Allen do it at the same level.
Stafford?
Probably, yeah. Probably. There you go. There yeah, is. Stafford is there.
But he's still older.
Yeah, but the Super Bowl thing helped him out. Plus, he played in Detroit and... Until Dan Campbell came to town. It's like that's where great players died. You know, they were good. They had great stats. But Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, Matt Stafford, you know, you're going to. Yeah, he's in. That's another one. But there's not many. So Brock Purdy's in a weird. You got a lot of guys that could be there. I believe that Josh Allen will ultimately have a Hall of Fame career. I believe that Lamar Jackson will have a Hall of Fame career. Joe Burrow will probably have a Hall of Fame career. Justin Herbert, we'll see. Still. Not so sure right now, but there's a lot of guys that potentially could be Hall of Famers. So you are comparing Brock Purdy, perhaps unfairly, to a lot of potential greatness in the National Football League. But I do think that there's a lot of pressure on him because in a day and age where it's like, well, we got a lot of great quarterback play. Like Josh Allen is a great quarterback. Why aren't they winning more Super Bowls? Well, they got to get past Mahomes first. But it's also, we got to build around him. San Francisco built that thing, that foundation is so strong that it would take a terrible quarterback to come in there and mess it up.
So if Purdy could beat Mahomes on Sunday, does that put him up there with, you know, Joe Burrow?
If he passes for like 120 yards and a touchdown and interception, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But
like if the Niners defense wins them the game,
then I don't think you can. I think the thing will still be San Francisco stacked in every other way. Like, there were times when I'd watch San Francisco play most of the season where I thought, nobody's beating them unless they just have a weird night. And I'll give you this. Against Baltimore. Baltimore was legit. But they had a weird... San Francisco had a weird game.
Yeah, they had like three picks in the first quarter.
It was a very strange game for them. That was very uncharacteristic. So the only way you can beat the Niners is you just hope they're off. And I think that stems from your quarterback. If he's off just a little bit... You could lose because everything else, they've got some of the best position players in the league. 33 minutes after the hour, it is Super Bowl week here officially. Poll question of the day, do you like the 2-week break, you know, essentially between championship weekend and the Super Bowl? You can vote at Whole Show, The Whole Show, my Twitter account or X account, or thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get your game day forecast with meteorologist Cody Wilson. Fridays on Good Morning NoCo, only on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Cable's Pub and Grill, going to hook you up today. All-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $6.99. For a full menu, you guys got to check out cablespubandgrill.com. Sean and Nikki just do a wonderful job over there. I'm a big, like, ambiance guy. Like, I like the setting more so than the food or the drinks. But if you can get both... Wow, that's the combination. So I just like the style when you walk into Cable's Pub and Grill, just the way it looks. But then you're also getting some of the best food. I mean, I have yet to have a bad meal there. I you know what? I was eating somewhat light the other day. Had just a club sandwich in there. That was great. They put it on like a they toast it, but it's not like I have a sensitive roof of the old mouth there, Angel. So the toast can tear me apart. The bread is soft. It almost melts in your mouth. It's delicious. It's great. Cable's Pub and Grill, all-you-can-eat spaghetti today for just $6.99. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When I look at this Nuggets team, Angel, a week ago, I thought maybe this team does need to get pretty aggressive here because I don't know if the starters are going to be – all five of them are going to light up the scoreboard in the playoffs deep this year. I just don't know. And so you're going to put more pressure on a bench that you're not so sure about. Well, the last couple of games, Peyton Watson, obviously, you know, I think I tweeted out on Friday night that Watson is getting into playoff form. He is growing before our very eyes, Angel. He's not the same player he was a month ago. He's not the same player he was 3 weeks ago. So he's growing up fast. He had 14 points and 5 boards against Portland the first time around. And then last night, he had another nice game with 12 points, 6 boards, 1 block, 2 steals, and an assist. So he was starting to fill it up. But another guy that's coming on strong who played 28 minutes in this game was Christian Brown. Now, again, 4 points. But this is that last night's game was an example of when that energy and all that other stuff can rise above the box score.
What was his plus minus?
It was 18.
There you go.
I mean,
that's Christian Brown,
and it's 28 minutes. So like that, he was playing great defense. He was intense out there. He had 3 boards and 2 assists and a steal. But it wasn't just the actual basketball going into his hands for the rebound. It was his blocking out. It was his aggressive nature. Now, that thing, I've said it before, what's your thing going to be? And if you're just telling me you're an energetic guy, okay, then you've got to be freaking energetic. You've got to be the guy that is just, it's like a hornet's nest when he comes out on the floor. That's what you want. So it does seem like he's starting to get to that point. Didn't take any threes last night. The guy that said he was going to shoot, what, 40%?
Yeah.
That was a joke.
He did get the defensive player of the game chain from Michael Malone.
Yeah, this is what he's got to do, man. So if he can come on strong, and then you see Peyton Watson do what he's doing, that's the ticket, you know, because Reggie Jackson, not a great shooting night for him, slowing down a bit for him, but I do think once the playoffs come, those are your three. Those are your guys right there.
So it is the trade deadline week. I believe it's on Thursday.
Yeah.
Looking at the NBA rumors site here, Hoops Hype. Couple of things here. Dion White from the Wizards has drawn trade interest from the Celtics, Kings, Timberwolves, and Nuggets. Another one here that caught my eye from the Ringer. They are hearing that the Nuggets might be interested in bringing back Monte Morris.
Saw Monte's name coming up today, too.
He's on the Pistons right now, and he's not getting very many minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't Monte replace Reggie Jackson's minutes?
Yes.
Monte was Bruce Brown before Bruce Brown was Bruce Brown.
Yes.
So I'm good with that.
The chemistry there. He would know the system already. He could kind of be a little bit more of a leader for that bench unit. Not to say Reggie isn't, but Reggie has its limitations.
He's averaging 4.5 points per game. 2 rebounds, but like you said, he's not getting his minutes with the Pistons. His best year with the Nuggets, he played a long time for the Nuggets, didn't he? He played 5 years for the Nuggets. His best year for Denver was the year before. He averaged 12.6 points per game, four or five assists per game. Like those are good numbers. Those are just a little less than Bruce Brown numbers last year, but. If you could get that, it hasn't been that long since he was producing at that clip. So he would be good. 44 minutes after the hour. Angel, we're well overdue here. That's an interesting name. Bring back Monte Morris to the Nuggets. Or do you just sit still? Do you like it? Or do you feel like you could get a little bit of an upgrade over Reggie Jackson? Morris played with Nikola Jokic for 5 seasons, way more than what we've seen with Reggie Jackson. Jackson's going on about a year right now. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
So, Angel, for a guy like Wright or Morris, if the Nuggets are looking at making any kind of a deal, Do you think this is a situation where they don't really, because the guys that aren't playing for the Nuggets right now, your Zeke Nagy's, like those kind of guys, even DeAndre Jordan, who gets some minutes sometimes, whatever, they're not going to be a, there's not going to sweeten any kind of pot there. If you're Washington, you're basically just trading off contracts. Then maybe that's the case. Maybe that's what happens. But if you don't find a partner that's willing to just know that, hey, we're going to trade off, we're going to trade this contract away, and we'll probably cut the guy that we get from you. Do you think the Nuggets look at this and go, we'll trade draft picks, we'll trade future draft picks, because your core is not, they're right in the middle. I mean, Gordon's, they're all about the same age, aren't they? Gordon and Joker were drafted the same year. Mm-hmm. So you're right in the middle. Nobody's too old yet. KCP's probably getting up there. But for the most part, you got a young group. Your bench, you look at Peyton Watson, young. Christian Brown, young. Obviously, Reggie's getting up there. Is this a situation where you could see, hey, we still feel like we're in the window with this pretty much this exact group, so we can afford to trade off a future draft pick coming up. In 2024, they have a first-rounder, and then they have either Charlotte's or Minnesota's in the second round this year.
I could see them doing either. I think they like what Malone has done in the draft with guys like Christian and Peyton Watson. We'll see what Julian Strother will become. He's being sent back down to the G League.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Maybe get some reps in. Maybe he can come back in March, April sometime. But I could see them just staying pat and saying, hey, we like who we have. We like the chemistry we're getting right now. Reggie can do enough for us off the bench with Peyton Watson up and coming. Christian Brown kind of getting back into his role. Maybe you feel good. Draft picks are like, I don't want to trade a draft pick unless it's like a big...
Well, and the Nuggets have been pretty good with their draft picks, too. I mean, even Bones Highland, as much as we want to... That worked for a moment. You know, it looked like it was going to work. But they've been able to find guys that have worked out in the draft that have at least helped them along the way. And Peyton Watson and Christian Brown being the big reasons for that. Christian Brown, obviously, you won your first championship, and he was a big part of that, and he was your draft pick. He was a first-rounder. So I'm with you. I don't love the idea of trading away draft picks, but if it's about getting as much as you possibly can this year and winning this year and saying you got two, one away from a dynasty, we'll see if they pull out all the stops, or do they believe in this group? Do they really feel like Watson and Brown can carry the load like we saw with Brown and Brown and Jeff Green last year? That's a bit, it's tight, man. It's a tight decision, tough decision to make.
It is. You like what Peyton Watson is doing. I still think there are moments where he plays like a young player.
Yeah, yeah, he's still got that.
He's still a little raw, but his talent is otherworldly. His defense is insane. He can block dunks. He can block big-time shots. He can block passes in the lane. He brings that kind of attitude that you want on the floor. He brings that energy when he's not making young player mistakes.
He's got a little bit of the old, you know, the fight in him. Not the dog, the fight. Like, Aaron Gordon can get like that. Jamal can get like that. Joker, but it doesn't hurt to have a few of those guys.
A lot to get him.
Yeah. But once he's
slamming
mad,
you in the back on big four.
Once he's mad, it's extreme. 12:51 the time. We'll take a quick break, wrap up hour number two. We've got buy or sell coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Some interesting topics to hit there. We'll be right back.
Basketball is here, and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Got a fun night coming up next week, February 16th. Teaming up with the Colorado Grit and United Way of Weld County. United Way night presented by KFKA, which is us, Angel. Yeah, we're presenting this bad boy. We'll be at the Colorado Grit game on February 16th. We want you to join us. Join us in celebrating the United Way at the Greeley Ice House at 7:15. Okay, we are going to be part of the puck drop with United Way, and we're going to compete in an ice soccer hockey. I'm told I'm doing this. I don't even know what it is. I've never seen it before. You can get your tickets at ColoradoGritHockey.com. We'd love for you guys to join us here. Let's give away some tickets for that. I got a 4-pack of tickets for this. We want you to come out there. Tanner's getting involved in it. I'm getting involved in it. Angel is a hard maybe at this point. I'm not sure if he's jumping in on the ice soccer hockey that we're going to be doing. I don't know what to expect. Who knows? But we want you guys to go with us. So what do we get, Angel? We just get their email address? That's what we need? We need your email address. I'm going to give a 4-pack of tickets away right now to go check out the Colorado Grit. You've heard a lot about this team from us. We've interviewed the coaches and players, and you get like Eric Lacroix on my show all the time. He's a great Colorado Avalanche, former Av. He's in the Denver media now. He's promoting the heck out of this. He's working with the Grit. So this is a worthwhile opportunity to get out there and check this team out. They're a lot of fun. And what better way, if you haven't been, to make it your first one? Come out here and watch us, you know, ice soccer it up out there. It'll be fun. If you want tickets, go to ColoradoGritHockey.com. I've got a 4-pack of tickets that I'm giving away right now. Let's go caller number 4 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. I've had a lot of hooligans asking me if this is fun, if this is a good environment, is it a blast? Well, here's a free way to try it out. You're going to get a free 4-pack of tickets right now. Caller number 4, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. It's going to be a really, really fun night on February 16th at the Greeley Ice House as we get set to take in some Colorado Grit hockey, also while celebrating United Way of Weld County. All right, coming up in the final hour of the program, we're going to get to buy or sell, some interesting stories there. This idea that Michael Porter Jr. could go to the bench. You're just now starting to figure out your 8-man rotation here. So I think the idea of tweaking something like that to that magnitude, a little silly at this stage. Maybe something to consider in the off season, but not right now. Final hour of the show. Buy or sell, coming up next.